Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm here to encourage you today, grow up. Hebrews chapter 5, around verse 11. I was walking the dog early one morning when I noticed a car pull up to the curb. Then out of the house came a lady dragging a young fella. And she was tugging him. He was on his feet, but he was just fighting her for all he had. And she got down to where the car was, and she held him with one hand while he was flailing for all he's worth. Opened the car door with the other and got him inside and closed that door. I fully expected the door on the other side of the car to pop open and him go running down the street, but that didn't happen. I suppose the people in the car were good at locking the doors once they got him in there. And as they pulled away from the curb, I saw it was an older couple in the front seat. So I surmised from all of that that the older couple might be grandma and grandpa. And from the fact that the kid had a backpack on, I suppose that, well, they probably are trying to get him to school. But the thing that really caught my attention in this whole drama was the way the lady walked back to the house. Her shoulders were slumped. She more drug her feet along than lifted them from the ground. The poor girl looked like she had the weight of the world on her shoulders. She was either exhausted or defeated or both. I could only imagine what that morning must have looked like from the time she knew she had to get him out of bed till she could get him in that car and they could turn the corner. I wondered how Grandma and Grandpa were faring as they were trying to complete that journey. Three adults suffered significantly that morning because of one person's immaturity. Immaturity always injures people we love. The more you mature, the more you move away from causing pain and toward blessing others. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Father, we showed up for church this morning, and we never really quite know what we're to expect. But Lord, today, it's not about what we expect. It's about what we need. So I pray in Jesus' name that somehow you'll sharpen the end of this pencil and write it on the core of our being. This word, this new way of looking at life, this new core value that we need. Rather than being so concerned about me, please change that, God, to being so concerned about others and particularly how they relate to you. And we'll thank you for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. The first mark of immaturity that we find in our text is being slow to learn. Now, this isn't a lack of intelligence due to some physical defect or mental inability. This is an unwillingness to learn. Another translation puts it, you no longer try to understand. You're not even trying. Have you ever tried to teach somebody and they're looking somewhere else or they're flicking things and they're not even paying attention? Well, that's the picture that the writer to the Hebrews is given to us. He's got a congregation. He's got an audience. He's got a church that just isn't interested in growing people any longer, an unwillingness to learn. These people had the ability, they had the intellectual capacity, that by now they should be teachers. But instead, they needed to be reminded over and over and over again what it means to be a Christian, how a Christian is supposed to act. Now, is that something that a Christian would say? Have you ever said to a child, how many times do I need to tell you? How many times do I need to tell you? Take your shoes off when you come in the house. How many times do I have to tell you? Don't put your milk on the edge of the counter like that. How many times do I need to tell you? How many wives have had to say that to their husbands? How many times do I need to tell you? Now, the problem isn't their hearing. It's been tested by the school nurse and they're fine. The problem isn't their understanding. They speak the English. Their problem isn't their ability. They could take their shoes off. Their problem is their will. Their will. They simply do not care about what you care about. Amen? Got to change the will. They don't care if they get mud on the carpet. They don't care if they spill their milk. They don't care if they stink when they get on the school bus. They don't care if they're still dirty when they slide in between clean sheets. So these things are insignificant to them. They don't connect on an emotional or an intellectual level. Once they begin to care about how they smell, you'll no longer have trouble getting them in the bathtub. In fact, you'll probably have a problem with paying the hot water bill. All of a sudden, they're checking themselves. They're concerned. When they care, things will change. When they begin to become concerned about adult things, they will adult for themselves. All the while you're having trouble training them to become human, they've become experts in electronics. They can play games you don't even understand. They could hook up a whole entertainment system without reading any directions. Yeah. They'll teach you things about your phone that you don't know. There's ability there. Oh, they're too tired to pick up their socks. But a friend comes over and all of a sudden they can run and jump and yell and scream and tear up the place. That burst of energy comes with the will. I have enough strength to do what I want to do. You know, that doesn't change once we become adults. I have enough strength to do what I want to do. You yell, you threaten, you punish, you reward. You're always trying to motivate them to do what they're supposed to do. What you would think by nature they would want to do. Their immaturity costs you. You have to pick up after them if you want a clean house. If you want them to do it, then you got to go through all that drama. And usually in the end you conclude it's easier just to pick it up than to go through all of that. You have to work so hard figuring out, how can I do this? How can I get them to do what they're supposed to be doing? Immaturity always injures people we love. Immaturity always injures people we love. When you're an adult and you're immature, you're hurting people that you love. You're doing things that are counterproductive to your relationships. In the moment when you throw your tantrum, in the moment when you're being selfish, oh, maybe later you apologize, maybe later you come to your senses. When you throw a tantrum, when you have a fit, when your anger controls, when you're immature, you injure people you love. And in doing that, you injure yourself, you injure your relationships. The more you mature, the more you move away from causing pain and toward blessing others. People will love to see you coming, love the mention of your name. When you are a mature person and you're a giver, not a taker any longer. Imagine the joy of that same mother that I described earlier, the day her child jumps out of bed, brushes his teeth, gets dressed, said, I can't wait to get to school, runs down, has his breakfast out there on the corner waiting for the bus to come. His maturity will bless a whole bunch of people. It'll make his mother's life so much easier. Grandma and grandpa will be happy to see him. The school will be happy that he made it there that day. Probably as it is, they have to have an aide assigned just to that kid. And that aide probably wakes up in the morning and her husband has to drag her to the car and say, you have to go to work today. Here's your book bag, now go. But let's put some icing on that cake. Let's say the kid not only gets up willingly, he goes down, has his bread, but at breakfast, he says, wow, Mom, what a delicious breakfast. Thank you. That's where we pick the mother up off the floor, give her some smelling salts, slap her a little bit, get some color back in her cheeks. And those clean sheets in the bed, they felt so good last night. Oh, and I wanted to tell you, without your help, I would have never gotten that science project done. Much love and appreciation, Mumsy. Can you see a difference between those two worlds? She has to drag him down. She has to be on his case just to get him dressed, get him to eat something, literally drag him, physically work out, get him to the car and get him off to worry about, oh, is this the right thing to do? What's different between the two scenarios? It's the attitude within an individual. Your attitude is either darkening somebody's sky or you're lighting it up. They're either worried you're coming to work this morning or hoping that you do. Which is it? They can't wait to see you at school, or they're afraid they're going to see you at school. Which is it? And the difference there is maturity. Don't you love a well-behaved child? Aren't you glad when they come and they show you what they did today? And they tell you what they're learning? And they appreciate what they have? You can have two kids with completely different personalities. And one, it's a pleasure to love. And the other, you're always reminding yourself, I love them, I love them, I love them. The Bible says I gotta love them, I love them. But oh, how they can try the patience. Immaturity does not have the ability to enjoy life. It thinks it knows what it wants, but as soon as it gets it, it ruins it. Maturity blesses the people around you. Immaturity causes pain. Immaturity is so self-centered, it can't enjoy good things. You can give immaturity what it says it wants, but it's not happy. Maybe for a moment, maybe. But it goes right to the next thing. Or it wanted better than what you gave. You sacrificed to do for them exactly what they were crying about, and it wasn't good enough. It's never good enough. But maturity enjoys helping others. Maturity enjoys seeing a smile on your face. Immaturity, maturity. And they both dwell in all of us. Now this morning, Howard came in and he was looking for the batteries for the microphones. They used to be plugged in right down here. And so he's looking around. I'm reviewing my message. And my first thought was, well, I hope I can finish so I can help Howard go find those batteries. Then my next thought was, boy, that really took Howard a while to find. And he finally found them. I thought, maybe I'll hide them next week too. You know? Maturity wants to help. Immaturity kind of likes, you know, I'm going to make your life. Why do we enjoy things like that? Isn't that wicked? Wow. And so that couldn't have been me. That was, yeah. And the people that this guy's ministering to, the writer of the Hebrews, had not yet matured to the point where they take responsibility for their own actions and have not yet begun to give to others. Everything is everybody else's fault. If everybody would just fall in line, then I could be happy. They haven't taken responsibility for their own emotions, haven't taken responsibility for their own life. Everybody needs to be doing something different, and then I'll be happy. And they're a far cry away from being helpful to other people. They needed constant reminders of how they're supposed to be acting. It's not natural to them yet. It's not natural to them. So you get saved, your sins are forgiven. Are you really Christian yet? Are you really Christ-like yet? And we all understand that's a lifelong process, right? I don't wake up tomorrow morning and I'm a mature Christian because I got saved last night. But there's a process you and I need to be cooperative with. We can get there if we want to get there. If it is my will to become Christ-like. Now, here's the sad fact. Most of us are just happy to have our sins forgiven. We're not interested in the maturing part. It's not our will. So the Word of God can be preached to us time and time again. We can even read the Scriptures every day as a duty. But nothing is sinking in because it's not our desire to grow. I want what I want. And when I don't get it, I'm going to get mad. I'm going to make everybody else's life miserable. You hear me? So get with it. So what we want. Self-centered, not Christ-centered. The reason these people had not become mature yet is because they're self-centered, not Christ-centered. When you become Christ-centered, you say, Lord, I want to please you. That's when everything begins to change within you. As long as you want what you want, you're not going to get it. And you're not going to be a blessing. You're going to cause pain. Even when you get what you want, it's not going to fulfill. We need to turn from being self-centered to Christ. So trying to change yourself isn't going to work. Focusing on Jesus is what's going to change the core of your being. Verse 13, Hebrews chapter 5. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The line between being infantile and being a mature believer is righteousness. Righteousness. Infants are always causing a mess, getting what they want at the expense of others. Infants are always causing a mess, getting what they want at the expense of others. They let their base desires determine their thoughts, words, and actions. They don't have something they want, they cry. They're still not getting it. They throw a little bit of a fit. They still don't get it. You ever have a little kid walk up and punch you? Yeah, I've had that happen. They're not getting what they want, and they'll cross the room and they're gonna throttle you. Thank God they were not born 6'3", 240 pounds. Yeah, they had a thing on Word FM this week. Researchers in Oxford University in Scotland have determined that if your cat was big enough, it would eat you. Your cat, you know, if it was big enough, if it was tiger size, your nice little house cat. I don't know how they've determined this, but they figured out if it was big enough, and if our kids were big enough, we'd all be dead. Yeah. They love us, I think, but boy, when they get mad, eh? If they had the ability, when they get that upset, we'd be dead. You've seen them throw a fit. You've had them charge across the room and lunge themselves at you. Yeah, you even babies. You ever have a baby rear back and get you right in the nose with a headbutt? Wow. You know, you get a little dizzy, but you do your best to keep the baby in the air. You know, you do your best not to throw it across the room. You just, I love this kid, I love this kid. Immaturity. They're not getting what they want, and they don't care who they hurt. They just want it. Friends, we need to tame that spirit. Righteousness. Lord, I want to be good. I don't want to be cranky. I don't want my base desires to drive my every thought, my interaction with everybody else. Immature believers don't care if they hurt others to get what they want. In that moment, and maybe past that moment, as long as they get what they want, they're willing to drive up over anybody. Yet getting what they want does not satisfy them. They're quickly cranking about something else. They work to please their flesh but are never happy. Recently, the Harvey Weinstein revelations have rocked the nation. There have been revelations from the Olympic Committee that doctor, 200 and some odd young ladies, he had molested. Hollywood actors, directors, politicians, clergymen have been exposed, have had to resign. College universities that really had nothing to do with have had to resign in the wake of this wave of outrage over what has been happening in our society. And at some point I have to stop and shake my head and say, I don't really understand, because we've been being told that all this stuff is okay, that there is no wrong sexual behavior that you are supposed to explore. You're supposed to, there are no absolutes. So then why is it all falling down? All of a sudden, these lies that we've been told, the movies display it. The guys were doing behind the scene what their movies, the movies they produced were saying. And we're also appalled. The lies are coming due. It's immaturity. It's me getting what I want at the expense of others. And then destroying the lives that preach that. And it's a classic devil trick. Tempt you into sin, then expose you to shame, laughing at you all the way. He laughs at you as you pant after those things that you lust for. And then exposing you to public shame and ridicule, ruining your relationships, destroying your life, and the devil has a great laugh. Right is right and wrong is wrong, just like it has been all along. God is the source of wisdom and knowledge. Sin always has a price tag attached to it. It might look attractive. And if you're not in Christ, you're easy prey, because these are the things that your flesh wants. And the devil knows how to dangle the bait and make it look so attractive. A mature believer, verse 14 says, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. A mature believer, through constant use, has trained himself to distinguish good from evil. It may look good, but it'll kill me. You need constant training in order to distinguish and know in your heart of hearts, I know it looks good, but it'll kill me. One of the best things that ever happened to me, we had a potluck dinner and everybody brought their stuff, you know. And this is a wonderful church who believes in double dessert, you know, double down on the dessert. Lots of noodle stuff and dessert. And actually, I think it was at a wedding that I was at. There was this delicious looking chocolate dessert with all of the whipped cream and stuff going on. And it had that that graham cracker crust underneath it, you know. And I just thought, wow. And I took a double scoop of that. I didn't care about the people behind me. I said, boy, that looks delicious. I'm going for the gold here, going for the chocolate. And God bless it, it was the most terrible tasting stuff I ever had in my life. And And now when I am tempted toward dessert, I remember that. I remember that. There's, you know, it can look good, but it'll kill me. And you know, if we could get that philosophy attached to all desserts, you know, it may even taste good, but it's clogging my arteries. It's, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. By constant use have trained themselves. How many know you do not by nature stay away from desserts? You have to train yourself. And it's true of everything that is deceptive in the world. By constant use, you have to train yourself to be a believer. If you do not learn to discipline yourself, you will never become disciplined. You will never mature. Nobody else can do it for you. Have you ever tried to help an immature person become more mature? It's going to hurt. I mean, we do it. It hurts. Thank God it works in time a lot of times. But if that person never wants to, if they never get a want to, it's not going to happen. They're going to be 34 years old and you're going to be saying, brush your teeth. Your breath could drop a rhino. Brush your teeth. They don't care. Pain. You have to step up. Somewhere in this, you have to come to God and say, God, I'm ready. I'm sorry. I've been so stubborn. I've been so slow. I want to be a blessing to the people around me. I need this to open up. I need this to change. Your brain needs discipline to put to death the lusts of the flesh and cultivate an appetite for righteousness. You are born fleshly. You want fleshly things. You want what Hollywood is serving. You love the violence. You love the lust. You love all those things. And your brain needs discipline. You need to be able to sit down and say, no, it just isn't good. How many times have we given in to a program or a series or a movie because we like it? We know it's not good for us. In fact, it's bad for us. It's taking us to wrong places. We don't sleep well after it. So we've got a neighbor. She watches all kind of movies, and she's always referring them to Barb. And she's telling Barb about this one movie, and Barb says, well, that sounds like a horror flick. She says, oh, yeah, it's really. And Barb says, I have trouble sleeping now. Why in the world would I want to watch? And then try to go to bed. That makes no sense. I may remember the Twilight Zone when we were younger. And it wasn't convenient. They put that on like at 11 o'clock at night. And what good timing. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you used to watch them when it were 11 o'clock at night and then you ever saw a rerun at like 2 in the afternoon, it was way different. You know, just way darkness. And for some reason, by nature, we're attracted to darkness. Your brain needs discipline to put to death the lust of the flesh and cultivate an appetite for righteousness. You need to sit down and understand what is good for me and what's killing me here. Who are the people that are building me up and who's tearing me down? What are the things I'm involved in that is strengthening my life, and what are the things I'm involved in that really is stinking it up? And make a conscious decision, and God help me, and it's going to have to be God, change your appetites. Lord, I understand this is not good for me. I surrender. And it's funny how after you've surrendered and God has done a work in your life, years later you'll look back on that and you'll shake your head and say, I can't believe I really enjoyed that. Well, what happened? Your appetites have changed. The word of God has worked. But it's not going to happen by accident. You're not going to wake up one day disgusted at your old pleasures and longing. Oh, where's my Bible? I got to read my Bible. Oh, I need to pray for a couple hours today. Woohoo! Nah. Doesn't happen like that. Well, but I was born again. Yeah. That means you're a baby all over again. And you have to develop new desires and sensitivities, and you have to mature from this place and move on. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do this. You can do this. You can overcome. That whole thing about you can't teach an old dog new tricks, that's not in the Bible. Did you know that? It's not in the Bible. My God is a God who can change any heart, can change any life. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But solid food is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature. As you mature, your appetite for the Word of God will grow. As you mature, your time with the Lord will become precious to you. When you're young, dragging yourself to prayer, you're like that lady in the opening, you got to go to prayer. I want to pray. But as you mature, you can't wait for that time in the Lord. If you try to stay immature, but appear godly to everybody around you, you're trying to hide something deadly. You're like the fellow preacher friend of mine told me about. He said he went to visit the guy on his job, and he saw the guy was smoking a cigarette, and when he saw the preacher, he put it in his pocket. He put his hand in his pocket. So the preacher just lingered there and talked with him for a while. He knew it was, you know, doing what cigarettes do. And we think we're fooling God. We think we're fooling everybody else. We think we're fooling ourselves. We're lying to ourselves to justify, but the results are not there. This isn't about what we look like to others. This is about who we are in Christ. I don't want to look holy. I want to be holy. And there's a big difference between the two. I don't want to keep wanting what I want. I want to want what He wants me to want. That's what I want. Imagine the Lord's joy when we hop out of bed one morning, giving Him praise for the day, making time with Him a priority, allowing the joy of the Lord to fill us up so that we're the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. Immaturity always causes pain to its host and those nearby. Maturity moves us from causing pain to being a blessing and feeling blessed. Remember when your kids were very young? You would roll over and you would say to your mate, "Oh no, the baby's up. We're not sleeping well tonight." Don't be the baby of the family. Be the joy of the people you love. It comes with maturity. Maturity only comes as you center on Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me this morning?